I realize this might be a shock, but if at first you don't succeed, try again, is a lie, and success is really the luck of the draw. Compromising on my dreams is more important than trying to defy the odds. Once upon a time, motivation and hard work mattered, but this will not be true in my lifetime. Experts tell me my chances of getting a job are dismal. I do not concede that I will have a gratifying job. It will be evident that my efforts will be in vain. It is foolish to presume that there is hope.
May 16th, 2012. Last week, I think I said 2011, and no one corrected me, even after the introduction. Anyway, today, what I want to talk about, again, is social media numbers. Social media numbers. The other day, I read a blog posting by a well-known recruiter, and in it, he declared, he made a declaration, a proud one. He said, I've built up 12,500 followers on Twitter, and I get 10 to 15 new followers every day. So I said to him, I said, out of 12,000 followers, how many are recruiters or career-oriented? So he said, I estimate 5,000 are recruiters, 3,000 are HR and internal recruiters, 2,000 are marketing and creative, that's his specialty, and the rest are random. So I just want you to note, he said he's got 5,000 recruiters and 3,000 internal HR people following him. So I said, you know what, I've got 8,000 followers myself, and most of them are just irrelevant. They're irrelevant. I figure 25,000 are animal welfare agencies. There's pet stores and veterinarians. That's about a quarter of all my followers. And then a lot of them have got to be multi-level marketers and porn guys, right? And then maybe a few hundred are relevant and active to me. You know, they talk to me, et cetera. They RT me. How can it be so different for you, oh, great one, I said. So he says, I know, animal, I know that I have a very engaged following because when I tweet about a blog posting, I can direct many hundreds of people to the site immediately. If you doubt me, sir, why don't you have a browse through my followers and let me know what you find? That's how he challenged me. So you know what? I did look at his followers, and after the first 10, I said to him, sorry, I just gone over 10 of your most recent followers, and they're all garbage, just like mine. So he says to me, yeah, 10's really a good sample, animal. You keep going. You've only got 12,490 left. He said, I think my estimates are right. So I did keep going. I checked the most recent 50, and here's some of their bios. These are the Twitter bios I'm going to read to you. It might be a little boring. Forgive me. Here's number one. In vitro fertilization 5 times killed the relationship. Love the arts and my dog. Number two, I'm married to the most wonderful man in the world. I have 3 beautiful children who are my world. Beautiful is not spelled right, okay? Number three, I'm a Spanish girl in an English-speaking world. Number four, I'm just a regular guy that made online marketing work for me. Now I want to show you how I did it. Number five, I'm one lucky girl. Follow me. Maybe you'll get lucky too. Number six, I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, blogger, artist, and visionary, of course. Click on the link below for my best deals. I'll do 10 of them, okay? Bathrooms have always been an important place in the home. Please spend, oh, sorry, people spend a lot of money nowadays to decor their bathroom. Decor their bathroom. I didn't know decor was a verb. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. And let me see. Hey, I really find and share latest hip-hop music tweets around the world. If you interest music niche, follow me. I'll do 3 more. Arborists. Sorry. Arborists in Austin, Texas, providing tree trimming, tree removal, stump removal, tree sales, planting diagnosis, and hedge trimming. This guy's in Australia, by the way, the big shot recruiter. Here's another. I'll do two more. Me, Igor, alter Igor. I try to watch TV, but it's boring. I try to read, but I get asleep. I try some sports, but I get tired. I'm confused. What should I do? And the final one, I'm a free-spirited individual from Yorkshire who will dodge any bullets fired my way in search of happiness and to spread the love. So that's the kind of thing he's getting. I'll bet 75% of his followers are just like that. Remember, he said he had 5,000 recruiters following him, and there were not any. There weren't one. I'm talking like those Twitter followers of his now, ESL. He had not one recruiter in his most recent 50. And I thought to myself, well, if I want to be generous, I'll say they all signed up ages ago in his first 5,000 or 10,000, right? Now he's just got the dregs coming to him. I don't know. That's one explanation, but here's how I figure it. He's got 12,000 followers. Most of them are useless, but when he posts a new entry on his blog, he can get a couple of hundred people to click on it. With 12,000, you should be able to. Plus, he runs a big company. Sorry, you know what? There's construction going on outside, and it just started. I can't hear myself talk. I'm going to wrap up in a minute. He's got a big company. He can get 100 hits from his own people. So 12,000, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean 12,000 at all, even if he gets a couple of hundred hits out of it. And the social media numbers that he was throwing around, they're just for the suckers. They are. I told you it a million times, and I'll say it again. And I'll say again that there's no hype on this show. I've got 8,000 followers on Twitter. At least 20 of them are going to listen today to Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Thank you, Jerry. Cynthia Shamus. Seamus, I don't know how you say your name. Are you here?
I am here.
How do you say that name?
It's Seamus. Thanks for asking.
Seamus, like a detective. Listen, Seamus, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, that's French, right?
No, it's not, actually. It is what's
left of...
Don't
tell me, I don't want to know. We don't discriminate here, okay?
It's what's left of a much longer name that was originally Russian.
Okay. Thank you very much. You see, I did a lot of research on your grandfather's business. It's all over Twitter. I mean, LinkedIn. Anyway, I mean, Google. You know what? There's so much noise. I'm going to have to wait in a second, close my windows, but I want to introduce you, okay?
No problem.
Who's making that noise?
Not me.
Is Marty Buckland here? I mean, he put up his hand as well, but he didn't reply after that. So let's just check and see if he's here. No? Okay. You know what? Today's an odd day. I got confused in my intro, not that it's the first time it's happened, but I got the noise outside, the water's turned off, Jerry's not here, the guy who said he'd replace him is not here, you're a replacement for somebody else at the last minute, I appreciate it very much. Why don't we start off with a song to warm things up, is that okay?
That is okay.
Do you know Robert De Niro is Waiting by Bananarama? Come on.
No, you
I'm
here.
Is anybody
Hello?
Know who's on the line?
I'm
Robert
here.
Robert De Niro's waiting, talking Italian. You know it? Robert De Niro's waiting, talking Italian.
Oh, my, Lord. Oh my God.
Anybody? It's a real song.
I did not know that.
Don't try to change me. You're wasting your time. Now I've got something much better in mind. Okay. What about Baby, I'ma Want You? You know that one?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, who wants to do that? Cynthia, are you with me?
Nope.
I'm
not singing.
Do you know
I'm
any
here.
Songs? Do you know any songs? Thanks, Rianne, but she's on the hot seat. Do you know any songs, Cynthia, that you'd like to sing with us today?
I know lots of songs I don't really want to sing.
Why? Are you a chicken?
A little bit.
You're a chicken. You're saying that right at the start of the show? And
sure,
you're a sales rep, I should say. You are a sales rep and you're a chicken. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a chicken when it comes to singing.
Okay. Rayanne, you and I will do it later, baby.
Okay.
I want
all right.
You. Baby, I'm
going
to need you.
Baby, I'm going to need you.
You're the only one I care about.
Okay.
Later.
Yep.
Okay. Beautiful. Cynthia, I'll introduce Cynthia. You are a sales rep. You were recently a job hunter, and you hate recruiters. Am I right?
No. Not entirely correct.
Whoa. That's
didn't you tell me you wanted to talk about why people hate recruiters?
Actually, that was somebody else's suggestion on Twitter, and I said, sure, I'll talk about that topic.
Go ahead.
You got most of that right. I'm actually the director of business development for a software as a service company called Performance Horizon Group, and I've been with the company for only about 2 months. So I was
and
a
you got the nerve to
seeker.
Mention their name here? Okay, you're not a chicken. Go ahead.
I'm only a chicken when it comes to singing, and I have good reason for that. So I'm a sales rep, not a chicken in general, and I actually worked with a recruiter on this position. And
so this job you got was through a recruiter, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, why'd you lose your last job? You weren't there that long either, were you?
Actually, I didn't lose that job. I was a consultant, and I was there for 6 months, which was the term of my consultancy.
You mean a contract? You were on contract?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And they also moved the company to San Francisco,
how'd you get in touch with this recruiter? Did he or she call you up? Is it a he or a she?
It's a he, and he actually contacted me.
How did he find you?
LinkedIn.
Found you on LinkedIn. And what did you have there? Did you say you're actively looking for a job? Was there something that, what made him want to call you? Were you just in the right field?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of things. First of all, this particular recruiting firm deals exclusively with finding employees for startups, and they can be the startups that they work with are always post Series A or later in their funding cycles. So he was looking for somebody with startup experience, which I have a good deal of.
You know what? Didn't you tell me you're a good conversationalist and really lively? Don't make me have to pump you up, okay?
Okay, I'll try.
Look, we had a guy on last week who said that startups only hire people who are revved up. As you know, I had another person scheduled to come in today, and I read all her articles, and I'll probably bounce her ideas off you. And one of them was that startups need switched-on people. That's her term, switched-on. Are you like a switched-on, ultra-positive kind of person?
I think so. I mean, you know, everybody has their days, right? But in general, yeah, I'm an upbeat person. And
is this one of your days?
No. It's a
you don't
good day.
Sound too upbeat to me. Does
that's
anybody else want to ask
scream.
Her a question? Maybe, you know, I just don't have the right rapport. Because I got to tell you something. That girl who cut me, she cut me hard. She slammed the door in my face. She just, you know, she's got a theory.
No
I was going to talk about it. I was going to talk about it next week for my intro. But I'll tell you what happened. I read, after I had my bad experience with her, I read all her articles.
Wait, are
she's
we talking about the guest who was supposed to be here today?
Yeah.
Is that
who
you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to have Cynthia and everybody comment. I won't say who it was. Anyway, she has a theory. She says the whole world is branded. And if you see a brand that you don't click with automatically, you should run away from it as fast as you can. So I asked her. I read an article. I don't know who she is. I read an article by her online. I said, do you want to come on the show? She said, sure. Then she said, she sent me an email. She says, what do I call you on the show? I said, call me Animal. She sent me another email. She said, who are you? You have to tell me or I'm not coming on. I don't like ultimatums, baby. So I didn't know what to do. I just didn't answer her, right? Then Monday, I sent her a note. I said, I'm just sending you a reminder that you're on the show on Wednesday. She said, I thought it wasn't on anymore because you didn't answer my last email. I said, okay, I'll give in. And I sent her an intro. I sent her an article I wrote 6 years ago, and it was introduced by John Sumser. He gave some background on me. He praised me a little. I figured that her concern, she had to know so much about me because she was concerned. She didn't know me. She was getting in with a bunch of weirdos or something like that, and something bad was going to happen to her. So I just wanted to assure her. I wanted to let her know that, you know, we're a legitimate group. We're doing real stuff. So I said, here's an article. I just sent her a link. I said, this guy is one of the top writers in the recruiting community online. And I said, but you know what? No one ever asks me that. If you just do a search on Google, you'll see that I've been around a long time. I've even been on TV a couple of times. So she immediately sent me a note. She said, it's not a good match. Thank you. Goodbye. I'm like,
that
bugs me. So I sent her a note. I said, look, I warned you before that it's kind of rowdy. I said, how come so suddenly you're cutting me off? She said, rowdy. She wrote me back. She said, rowdy's okay. She said, but I don't like arrogant people who have to go bragging that the top guy knows them and they were on TV and that there's tons of stuff about them on Google. I said, I wrote back. I said, well, thanks for telling me, but that's not what I was saying. I just wanted to reassure you that everything was okay, you know? I mean, like, why else would you want to pump me for so much info? So then I read her articles, and she told her friend or client that if you see something on LinkedIn and you don't click immediately with that person, run away as fast as you can. That's her theory, and that's what she did with me. But the way she handled it makes me want to hate her. I have to control my anger. I don't like it when someone slams a door in my face and then comes back to me with their own projections that I'm trying to brag and doesn't give you a break. She ran away as fast as she could. That's stupid, narrow-minded, and shallow. Cynthia, do you agree with me or do you think I mishandled it? I can take any kind of criticism. Go ahead.
No, I don't think you mishandled it. I think that she maybe just didn't want to hear you scream for an hour.
She agreed at the front. I said, you know what? I've got a link. I got a link to a page, and it's got resume strategy on it. The first thing saying, attack therapy for recruiters, the recruiting animal.
Right.
So, I mean, how much more blunt do you have to be than that, okay?
All you have to do is go and listen to past shows and know what it's going to be like.
I won't swear. Okay.
Well, maybe that's
what you did slip and say her name, Animal. You just slipped and said her first name anyway.
But I don't think anybody caught it.
What was
it?
I wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
I didn't say your name.
Yeah, you did.
Maureen?
No, that's not what you said.
Okay. Anyway. Look. Cynthia, I have to tell you something. I read some of you got a couple of articles on Neil Schaefer's blog, and you said, I identify myself primarily as a sales professional, but I've also been a highly successful entrepreneur. In 2002, I founded an e-commerce company specializing in ultra-luxury handbags, and within 18 months, I was doing $2 million in sales a year. By the time I moved on to a new challenge, I had brought in well over $15 million in sales. When you say challenge, that you moved away from something that was really great, I don't think you're telling me the truth. That's how I read it as a recruiter. What do you say?
I think that's interesting, and I'm glad you asked me that question. The new challenge was I had twins who were born in June of 2008. And
that's a challenge.
Yes, it is. So that was the new challenge. Le Bois d'Orange was the name of the company, the e-commerce company, and I was.
That means orange box for everyone who's not sophisticated. Okay.
That's true. It does. And
thanks, Animal.
Thank you for you're so sophisticated, Animal.
I'm Canadian. We speak French here.
I know. Voulez-vous? So at any rate, I was doing a lot of
parlez-vous. Sorry. Okay. So you had kids. You know, I'm
maybe.
A twin myself. I'm a twin
Are
myself,
you?
And my mother showed us a picture once of her, you know, leaning over the cribs, and she said, I was so tired then, and I was a little kid. I didn't have on. I said, why were you so tired? I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Anyway, see, now I know. That's the difference between Gen Y and people like us. They have no clue. I didn't have a clue. Now I understand. Okay.
Yeah, kids are a lot, and I was doing a lot of international travel was my point. So that's actually why I decided to.
Okay. Well, I don't know if any other recruiters think that she should have said something else because it sounds like she's just, you know, covering something up. I moved on to a new challenge. I left a $15 million business to move on to a new challenge. It sounds like a challenge.
Well, it was definitely a new challenge, and most recruiters
but you
know
say,
how to word their.
Yeah, I had twins. I decided to. I think you should say that. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that when I so the kids were born in June, and by December I was like, oh yeah, no, I can't be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay. Does anybody want to talk to Cynthia Seamus? We've got 646, I assume that's let's do a roll call. I haven't done one in ages. You don't have to give us, you know, your name or anything, but if you want to, you're welcome to. 646, is that you, Cynthia?
Yeah.
Okay, 949, is that Rayanne?
That's me, yep.
Great. 111, I don't know who that is. It's hard to identify.
Somebody on Skype.
215?
That's me, 215. Mark Sullivan. Mark
who?
Sullivan.
Mark, do you have a question for Cynthia? Anything yet?
Nothing.
Do you
yet,
want to
no.
say that you're looking for a job? Mark Sullivan is a terrific, I'm just assuming he is, terrific director of corporate recruiting. Am I right about that, Mark?
I would agree with you.
Yeah, and you're
yes,
in the Philadelphia area now, right?
Correct.
You know, I got a clue about how you should get a job. You should put that you're a regular listener of the Recruiting Animal Show on your resume. Kathy Manis did it, and she said everybody was very impressed. They said, oh, look at that. Okay, thank you, Mark. Anything you want to say to Cynthia doesn't sound like it. Area code 603.
Hey, this is Nick in New Hampshire.
Oh, Dr. Nick, any quick questions for Cynthia?
Well, we've got a few tweets saying that they'd like to see her reintroduced since you went on a second rant and everybody thinks that they just, your show just started over again.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks, Doc. You watch Twitter for me. I need somebody, and I don't have that, okay? 858, you want to say hello?
Hi.
Is that
Kathy.
Kathy Manis?
Hi.
Recruiter. Dr. Nick is looking for a job, business development. He'll come back and tell you later. 909, want to say hi?
Mark Quinley, hi, Animal.
Mark?
Yeah.
Mark who? I don't know you, right?
You don't, Animal. It's my first time listening to the show. I thought I would check you out.
Do you want to say something? Do you want to say something, Mark? It's Cynthia's first time on the show as well.
Oh, there you go, Cynthia. This is a very special occasion for both of us, isn't it?
Are you a recruiter,
it
Mark?
Is.
Are you a recruiter?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, you're on
Absolutely.
A terrible phone, by the way. You're on a terrible phone.
Wow,
okay,
I was
going
to say, Animal, you're being way too nice to him for being on a speakerphone. I think I got blasted when I did that.
513, Maureen.
That's me.
Hi,
and what do you mean you don't have anybody tweeting? I've been tweeting since you started.
I didn't say tweeting. I said telling me what's out there, right? Nobody does that for me
Who
anymore.
Can get a word in edgewise with you anyway?
You know what? Just cut in. Area code, okay, you know what? Does anybody want to say hi who hasn't been called on? Let's get back to it. So, Cynthia, you know what? They want me to reintroduce you again. You're a salesperson. I read an article on recruiting blogs that Ross Klenet, a guy in Australia, he said that what makes a company good is a business development culture. As a salesperson, would you agree mm-hmm. with that sales and business development is the key to business success?
Yes, I would actually agree with that. I think that having a sales-driven culture means a lot more than, you know, on the surface that sounds like, oh, the salespeople are the most important people in the company, and that's really not true, right? But when I think of a sales-driven culture in a corporation, what I think of is that everybody from, and I'm gonna use this from a tech perspective because I sell software, and so that's what I'm familiar with. But in a technology company that's sales-driven, what that means is everybody from the front-end engineers to the implementation specialists to the CFO of the company who figures out, you know, how we're going to work our financial agreements with our clients to the CEO and, yeah, also the biz dev and the marketing people. Everybody's really driven by sales. Everybody.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Everybody's focused on.
Tell me how a non-salesperson is driven by sales.
Everybody's focused on providing the best possible product or the best possible experience.
Yeah, that's not a good answer. You know what Maureen Sherb said?
Maureen Sherb said,
on recruiting blogs, a good way to gather names is to call people and ask them to connect with me on LinkedIn, asking permission before sending an invitation. Maureen, I'm glad you're here. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
Not.
Why would you
no,
want to
not.
Call them? Okay, you call them up, so you're using this excuse, right, to just get them on the phone. Is that it?
Well, yeah, I want to get them on the phone, but, you know, if they want to connect with me, fine. You know, they all think that LinkedIn is the best thing since sliced bread. Let them go on and think that.
Yeah,
I'll
but
buy
I mean,
into
like,
that.
Yeah, so they don't understand that connecting to someone on LinkedIn really means nothing, right? It
Probably
means nothing.
Not.
It doesn't mean anything. Cynthia, would you agree with me on that?
Nope.
Connecting to somebody on LinkedIn means nothing?
No, I wouldn't necessarily agree with you on that, no.
Why?
I think a LinkedIn connection can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, right? Like I know one guy who is a top recommended person on LinkedIn. I think that means nothing, because all you're doing is going around going, hey, recommend me, hey, recommend me. And those people, those recommendations get diluted because they don't have meaning, because these people haven't actually worked with this guy. Like, maybe they've had lunch with him, maybe they've had coffee with him, maybe they just know him, he's a nice guy, whatever. But a connection on LinkedIn can mean a few things. It can mean you actually know the person, you've actually worked with the person. It can mean that you're friends with the person. But the reason I don't think it's useless to connect with people on LinkedIn is because from, you know, just from a sales perspective.
Is this an answer? I mean,
yes,
I don't know what you're saying. You're just talking.
That was an intro. That was
I'm
intro
getting
to the answer.
To the
she was getting to the answer. Let her answer.
You know,
I'm getting
like
to the answer.
I just like, I like getting to the real stuff. No foreplay on this show. Okay? No singing either. You guys
ma'am,
have to
ma'am,
answer.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
So,
that's
yeah,
right.
No, I think you're wrong. That's my answer. I think you're wrong. I think
okay.
LinkedIn connections
you know,
are valuable.
Let me ask you something. This recruiter, when he called you up, what was his approach? What did he say to you?
Actually, he connected with me on LinkedIn first. He
how?
Sent me
through
he sent me a yeah, he sent me an email.
Uh-huh.
And he just said, you know, I reviewed your background and I really liked what I saw. I think it's a great fit for one or possibly two of the clients I'm representing. So, you know, come in and meet with me. So LinkedIn wasn't
in.
Yeah, I went in and actually met with him. And met the rest of their team, and that's something I really was impressed by, actually. It doesn't happen very often, but when a recruiter wants to sit down with you and meet you and get a personal impression, that really impressed me a lot. So I definitely do not hate this recruiter. In fact, I have nothing but great things to say about him. And
you want to tell us his name then?
Sure. His name is Dave Delaney. He's from Dave Partners, which is in New York City. And, in fact, if you look on my LinkedIn profile, I actually endorsed him.
Yeah, I think you hid your endorsements because I didn't see it there. I did look at
oh,
your
really?
LinkedIn profile, yeah.
But, yeah, he's fantastic, and I would absolutely recommend him.
Okay,
it
yeah,
was,
okay. So
it's a great
in,
recruiting
and
experience.
Once you were there, you see, I don't like bringing people in, even when I had the opportunity to do so, because, you know, it was a long trip and wouldn't necessarily lead to anything for them. So although this guy was working a niche, so even if this position didn't work, some other one might have. You came
right.
into his office. Was it fancy? Did you like the decor? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, they're a company, right? He's not a solo recruiter. He's not an independent entity.
How many people are in this company?
I don't know. Maybe 20, 30. I don't know.
Okay. And so is it an impressive, nice, lavish office? I mean, I've done contract work for some of the higher level recruiting firms here in Toronto in the past, and they're, you know, high up in one of the tall towers downtown. When you go in, you think, well, this is really classy. In the meantime, they're jobbing the work out to people like me, okay?
Yeah, no, it wasn't like a fancy plush type thing. It's a very, you know, they work with startups, like I said, so it has kind of a startup vibe to it. It's kind of industrial type
thing.
What
did you wear when you went in?
I wore
suits. It's a startup. Jeans?
No, I
wore suits. Are you hearing this?
I'm hearing it.
She said it's a startup atmosphere. I mean, and they always
how
tell
did you
ya,
wear your hair, Cynthia? How did you wear your hair, and what color lipstick did you wear?
No, they always say.
We haven't even gotten to the cheerleading thing yet.
You know, we haven't. They say dress to the culture of the place you're going to. And so if
she wore
flip-flops
and dungarees.
Maybe
okay?
You dressed like you know, just went to the Gap or something. How did you dress?
I wore a suit.
Oh, Lord.
You wore a suit. And how did he dress?
He was in, like, business casual, on the nicer end of business casual.
No
was
tie.
Was he young or older?
He's young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not yet burned
and so,
out.
So how long were you there with him?
I'm sorry, what?
How long were you there with him?
Well, we really hit it off. I think I was there a little over an hour.
Mm-hmm. What did you talk about?
We talked about my background. We talked about his background, actually. And we talked about a couple of different potential opportunities that they had that might be relevant for me. And he did a great job really digging down into what I was looking for and what would make an opportunity appealing for me.
How did he do that? How did he do that?
he asked a lot of great probing questions, not just, you know, oh, so what have you done, but what did you like about what you've done in the past? What did you not like about what you've done in the past? You know, not just the standard stuff like, oh, are you okay?
You knew right off the bat. How much thinking did you have to do? Did you know right off the bat what you like and dislike? Because I've asked people that, and they don't necessarily know.
Well, I had been looking for a position for about 6 weeks by that point or something. So I was pretty much, I was pretty sure what I wanted and what I didn't want, yeah.
Does anybody else on the line, Mark Lindley, the new guy, do you ask that question? Is he gone already?
We might have lost him.
That fast?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to answer?
He's probably mad because we called him out on his phone.
Yeah, these guys. I bet he does business on that crappy phone.
You've got a tweet that's interesting. Richard Pearson is saying, never accept invites from unknowns on LinkedIn. How does she feel about that?
I only accept invites from unknowns. You know why, Richard Pearson? I hope you're listening. Because, you know what? I don't pay LinkedIn. So the more connections I have, the more information
yep.
I can see for free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it used to be
exactly.
It used to be that you couldn't even connect. You couldn't see anybody who wasn't within 3 degrees. So we built, all the recruiters built their databases
yep.
by connecting to anybody so they'd have a huge searchable database. And I'm still in that mode. I connect to anybody. Except if you didn't connect to him.
It depends on if I see a valid reason for the connection. If it's
mm-hmm.
somebody in India that I have no reason to connect with, that's in a completely different business than I, I'm not going to connect with them. So there has to be a valid reason for the connection.
You know what? I'm reading some of the Twitter stuff myself, and I just have to say it's pretty stupid, okay? I'm asking good questions. If you've got
questions.
Look, if you've got good questions, Daryl Disco, and whatever, you know, there's a guy watching the Twitter now, Dr. Nick. He's watching you. He'll feed me a good question, right?
Well,
if you ask a good question, it'll appear on the show. I'm ready, okay? If you can ask a better question than me, put it out there. I'm
right.
sourcing the show, especially this one. I'm not prepared, okay? So I want to see what it's like for a job hunter who successfully dealt with a recruiter. I want to see all the details. So you were there an hour. You knew what you liked and you knew what you didn't. Did he leave you with an interview, with an appointment? What was the next step?
Let's see. Actually, I think the next step was that they presented me as a candidate to their client.
One of the clients that he talked to you about in the interview?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how much did he tell you about that client? Did he tell you the name?
Yes, he did.
Oh, really? Okay, did he make you
mm-hmm.
promise not to tell anybody, or did he have a retained relationship with
them? They have a retained relationship, I believe.
You know, I have to tell you something. This recruiter she's not a recruiter, but the woman who canceled on me because she knew immediately that we didn't have any rapport, she was in HR, and she's talked in one of her articles. She said there were a lot of recruiters calling, and Maureen, you'll be interested. They all said they were looking for a guy named Mark who they met at a party, and they forgot to give him back their sunglasses.
No,
so
you'd be interested in that. You would be interested in that.
So the receptionist, you know, knew they were recruiters, and she was getting bombarded with them. So what they did was they offered money to all their programming staff to talk to the recruiters, get all the information about the jobs, and then pass it back to the HR director. They were offering $25 at the time. She said she'd offer $50 now. And these programmers, she said, they really soaked those recruiters for as much info as they could get, like the name of the project that they were being hired to work on, name of the company, name of the hiring manager, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, that must be that's a baloney story, because no recruiter is going to give out that kind of information without taking a lot of information away as well. Even if they gave it out, they would be recruiting her guys all the same, and $25 wouldn't stop them from moving. Anybody got a comment on that?
I lost you after the first 43 seconds.
Does anybody else understand? She paid the programmers to talk to recruiters instead of forbidding them to talk to recruiters. She paid her own staff to talk to recruiters and get information about their clients. into the competition
smart,
for this
smart
company.
Girl.
Mm, smart, very
was
smart.
That was smart. It sounds stupid to me. The
it
recruiters
would.
Are still going to tempt
Wait.
Her people.
Exactly, but if she's treating them well, people move because of their bosses. People move,
right.
change jobs because of their bosses, not because of money, not because of benefits. They will leave a job they're comfortable in because they are unhappy in the work environment. Animal, it's true. You might want to look up some statistics on this because it's
she's
true.
She's creating a team environment.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, right. For $50, a guy
she's
calls
creating
me,
loyalty.
A guy calls me up, offers me a better position than the one I've got now, but I won't leave because I want to collect $50. She
the,
said that
the
if
only
they,
reason they're not going to leave is if they like working for her. If they don't like anyway, they're going to leave anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Define better,
more.
Animal. Define
okay.
better.
Okay. Yeah, right. Define better, more money,
yeah.
more interesting work, challenges.
That's why people take a job. It's not why they leave a job.
You know,
right? You're not listening. It's completely different.
Cynthia,
I'm not
messing
around. Oh, my Lord. If somebody is unhappy in their work, they will take a job for better pay because they're hoping it will be a better work environment. If they're happy in their work, they will stay in it. If they're happy in their current work environment, they will stay.
You're
no, I'm not.
Yes, you are, okay?
I'm putting you back on the right path.
No, you're not.
Seriously, yes, I am.
Okay. You know what Jerry Albright said? He says to candidates, Cynthia, I'm going to read you his. See, he says he doesn't offer a spiel, but I'm going to say that what Jerry offers is the exact definition of a spiel, okay? He says, hi, I'm Jerry Albright. For the past 20 years, I've been helping clients in the Midwest build the IT systems to keep them in front of their competition. My specific strength is helping them identify, hire, and build their teams with talent not readily available through job boards and career fairs. If that might be important to you, I would love an opportunity to introduce myself further.
That's
might
a great
okay
spiel.
For a voicemail. You think that's a great spiel? Maybe it's not bad in a voicemail. I wouldn't like to hear that long-winded message as soon as someone
well,
got
I'm
on the
sure
phone
Well, I'm
sure
he's not. He's taking a breath. He's putting a comma in there or two and waiting for them to respond, animal.
Didn't say
he's
anything
just
about it on. Didn't
he's
say anything
outlining
about
his
that.
Intro.
Okay.
Yeah, that he's outlining to you exactly how he introduces himself, how he gets clients. He
well, that
says
sounds
right away,
me.
This is who I am, this is what I do,
hey,
this
Rhianne,
is what
are
I can
the guest
do for
today?
You. Are
I,
you interested?
I must have made a mistake. I thought it was Cynthia.
You know what? I'm on the couch every week, and I tolerate this every week. Every once in a while, you can give me a voice.
Okay.
I tolerate
Madison's
it. I love
crying.
It.
I'm not giving her a voice. She didn't say anything today. Maybe she signed off already. So
you know,
I'll be
there. Can I say something? Procter & Gamble used to require their employees to write letters that had no personal references. You could not use the word me, I, mine,
right.
anything that was personal. Does anybody
yep.
ever do that anymore?
What are you talking
me,
about, Marina? You,
Procter
you,
& Gamble
you
used to require their employees.
You know, let me move on, okay?
Yeah,
totally.
You're talking about long-winded messages. I'm just wondering how you could write a short message without it being about all about you.
I'll correct
or without even mentioning
spiel
yourself.
Next week when he's back.
I think
okay.
that would make you happy.
Cynthia,
wait,
are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to figure out if you were asking me any sort of question about Jerry.
I am
or...
asking you, what do you think of a spiel like if somebody called you on the phone, a recruiter, with a long-winded
Yeah,
spiel
okay.
like Jerry's.
All right,
what
I
do
gotcha.
You think of that?
Well, first of all, I don't think Jerry sits there and reads that. I think that was an email spiel that he might send out, and I thought it was great and very professional as an email pitch or as
mm-hmm.
a LinkedIn pitch.
Yeah.
On the phone, I'm pretty sure he doesn't do that.
Okay.
But if Jerry said to me, hey, here's why you want to talk to me, you're building a sales team, or you're building, I think Jerry's an IT recruiter, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
So those people are hard to find. It's really hard to find good developers and good software engineers. So all he really has to say is, I'm an IT recruiter who's been successful doing this for 25 years. Done. That's all I need to hear because it's
mm-hmm.
really hard to find these people. So he really summed it up in that one line where he said, finding talent that's not readily available, that would catch
mm-hmm.
my attention as a hiring
mm-hmm.
authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a pretty good pitch. I mean, it's too long for voicemail, but...
That's not too long for voicemail. No, I disagree with you there. Okay, so did anybody call you on the phone? Did any recruiters phone you?
Sure.
And how did they approach you?
Some mixed bags, some really horrible, and one or two that really stood out as
well,
being
excellent. Well, you know
excellent.
What? I got a message for you, a strategic message about this show. I like examples. Don't just give me general statements, okay? Let me give you a few examples, okay, Animal? And I'll
we have a tweet that's asking for examples. Kelly Blodgick, I think is how she says it.
Talent Talks. Thank you,
would
Kelly.
Would like us
she knows
to
how I think.
Stop talking about
she
the
does.
Decor of the office and to spill the talk on messier parts of the job search, dealing with recruiters.
Well, you know what? I got a challenge for Kelly if she's so smart. Why doesn't she ask some specific questions that just we I can feed to Cynthia, okay?
Good,
don't be
good
so
point.
Smart out there on Twitter. You know what? You're not mm-hmm. showing yourself off that well when you just bully me around, okay? I don't like that. Okay, Cynthia. Let's hear about some of your – that's Talent Talks, everybody. Yeah, I'll give her a plug after that. Hey, Kelly – I mean, not Kelly, Cynthia, tell us what some of the recruiters said to you, and tell us what you liked and disliked.
Okay, so one of the things I really, really hate is when a recruiter calls me and it's clear they have no idea what I do, or they call me – you can look on my LinkedIn profile for 5 seconds and determine that I'm an experienced sales professional – so probably not going to be interested in a really junior level position that pays nothing or that pays like, you know, commission only. I sell enterprise technology.
Hey, if you're unemployed and I'm a recruiter, shouldn't I take a shot?
You can. I never get nasty with them. It's just, you know, it's not a good use of my time or theirs.
No, maybe it is a good use of theirs. Just checking. I got to tell you something. Once I was doing a search for, I think it was director of sales at a wholesaler, a PC or IT wholesale company here in Toronto, and I saw this guy at a competitor, and I knew that he'd only been there a year, or maybe the receptionist told me. I can't remember. So I didn't call him because I just thought it's too soon for him to move. That guy got the job.
Assumptions.
Yeah,
but
no, that's fair
Cynthia's
enough. But
saying, look, she's saying, don't call me with junior jobs. Don't call me with straight commission jobs. I'm an experienced person, but you're also unemployed. What do the other recruiters on the call think about that?
Well, yeah, but let's put a caveat on that. I'm unemployed, but I also had a business that generated $15 million in revenue. I can pay my
Yeah, but I'm unemployed. That's the key statement you just made. Anybody else got a statement? I'm not the only one here. There's a lot of recruiters on the line. Anybody else got an opinion?
Yeah, is she looking to make money at her next job, or is she so well set off that she's going to just bow and
we deal? Don't know. We don't know until we call her, right, Cora? Isn't
yeah.
that the key?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
Yeah. Left
I
a job
a question
that
about
was,
that.
You know, built a company and it's way up here, now I'm employed, I'd be like, what?
Yeah,
you know,
I have a question
a lot
about
of big
that.
Shots consulting, and they're really sitting in their basement offices, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would wonder why
there's
she doesn't go back
wrong
to
with
that company. I would
okay.
wonder. Now, I'm not a recruiter, but I would wonder why she doesn't go back to that company.
What company?
The one that
her
she
company?
Was doing $50 million in sales.
Because it was
15.
Because she
five.
Was working her butt off to do that.
Oh, it's
she's
one
got
five.
A set of twins.
Big difference.
I was traveling
right.
a lot.
She was traveling all over. She was doing
okay.
a crap load of work.
That's a good answer.
Kids, you know what that's like, Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
come
Cynthia.
On.
So
got,
we've
what
already
are they
established.
Wake up. Okay, I'm awake, Ryan.
Yeah, we've already established.
No, you are. I know you are.
We've
I
already
didn't say
established.
Wake up.
Okay, so what other calls did you not like from recruiters?
I hated when people would call me and go, "Hey, do you want to be director of marketing for major hotel chain?" I'm like. What the hell gave you the impression that I would want to be the director of marketing for a major hotel chain? Like, wouldn't you maybe want somebody who's...
Because they're just looking to build a field of candidates. That's
yeah.
a recruiter desperate to serve a field of candidates on a platter, knowing full well that you're not the qualified candidate.
Yeah, that was just stupid, though. That infuriates
that is
a candidate.
Stupid.
And you know, I remember that person's name who called me with that stupid idea.
What,
and
you
I'll
call
remember
them?
It forever.
You want to tell us?
Nope.
We'll probably
you know what?
Come on, tell
you
us.
Could,
you
could
gotta
holler
tell
it from the rooftops and nobody would care. That person's like
it's
so
it's probably
insignificant.
The same one that ditched Jerry on his split fee arrangement.
Oh,
probably.
Initials.
Okay,
initials will do.
What other calls
we'll,
did you hate?
We'll figure it out.
What other ones did you hate?
Oh, let's see. I really hate getting I hate when they don't tell you the truth.
Like,
I hate
yeah.
evasions. I don't
yep.
like evasions.
Tell
right?
us one.
Okay. So I had a recruiter call me up about a position, and I thought, man, this sounds like a great fit. And the more they talked, the more I thought, wow, not only does it sound like a great fit, it sounds like something that this company, in fact, has posted on their own website, and gosh, I may have already applied to it. And, in fact, I'm pretty sure I did. So I asked straight out, well, is it this company? Is it this job? And they were like, oh, I can't tell you that. And I'm like, dude, I'm asking you because I don't want you to waste your time and look like an idiot when I've already applied to the job and you're not going to get commission on it anyway. So I'm trying to save you a minute
here. Let me just say something. You saw a second ago that my former guest, almost guest, she actually paid people to cheat recruiters by getting the information that they could, you know, maybe use elsewhere. So if you, this guy doesn't know you, maybe if he gave you information, you would just go and tell your friends. I mean, maybe it wasn't the same company. What should he do? Anybody got an opinion what he or she should have done in that situation? When the candidate says, is it this company? I'm going to say, I agree with Cynthia, you should just say yes, but not everybody, I'm sure, would agree. Anybody got an opinion?
I always tell who the company is I'm recruiting for.
Yeah, but you're retained, aren't you?
Most of the time, but I have a couple clients I don't do retain work for.
Them anyway?
Yeah, I tell them anyway. The companies know, and I actually, with both companies, give them a list of everybody I talk to every week.
Yeah, see,
said the name, too. I always said the name, always.
Yeah.
I think that's really above board. And I got to tell you, from a candidate's perspective, if you won't tell me the company name, then I can't even tell you from just a few sentences that we go back and forth with whether it's even an opportunity that's a good fit for me or whether it's a good opportunity as far whether the company is a good fit.
So let me ask you, so you insist on the recruiter telling you the name of his or her client. Is that right?
I insist before I will release my resume, yes.
I think that's fair.
I wish Jerry were on the show today. He'd take exception with all you.
He'll say once he has the resume, he'll give them that information, but not before.
I'll give him my resume. You can have my resume. You better not send it to anybody without me knowing who.
Well, once you give a resume to most recruiters, you don't have any idea where it went.
No, that's true. I don't, but I can say I would like you not to present me as a candidate to anyone without me knowing.
It.
Right,
you
know, I know.
Say it all you want.
Doesn't matter if you say it. Don't.
Right. And that's why recruiters have such a bad name.
As long as they have your resume in their database, they think it's all right.
Well, that's why recruiters have such a bad name, though.
That's right.
Yeah, true.
Because they do stuff like that, and that's just unprofessional. And also, it doesn't get them anywhere. Because, you know, if they submit me to a company that's already aware of me, guess what? They're not going to get the commission.
You won't even know, but those recruiters that do that kind of stuff will fight with the company that I sold around the job. Blah, 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 blah. I want part of that fee.
They're right. They're right, Cora. You're wrong, okay? If they've got you in their database and it's just sitting there and you bring the candidate and you got her interested in the position so she's ready to be hired, then you brought her. They didn't. They just have her sitting in some database.
Well, yeah, but I don't know
do
that
thing.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
What's
that called? If-but rule?
Yeah, but if I hadn't called, you wouldn't have.
But for my intervention. I disagree with that from a candidate perspective. And here's a great example. There's a company called, there's a company here in New York City. And it's a well-known startup. And it's a great company. And I would love to work for them, right? And they had a position. And I was excited to find out about the position on my own. And it's advertised on their website, and so I provided them, you know, my resume and my cover letter and et cetera. And it had to be 2 months later that I was speaking with a recruiter, and he thought I was an excellent fit for the position, and I really was. I mean, you could go down the whole checkpoint, you know, all the check marks, and I was a great fit for it. And it would be a great culture for me because I knew, you know, I knew something about the culture of the company and about what they do.
Yeah, yeah, don't drag it out.
So he thought it would be a great fit for me. He wanted to present me, and I told him right then, I'm already in their database. I know I applied to that exact job. And, in fact, I went back to my records and showed him, yeah, I really did. It's the same job. And he did what I thought was actually really appropriate, and he did not submit me for the job. because they have a good relationship with that client company. They don't want to jeopardize it.
No.
So did you ever get an interview?
They knew they had no interest in you because they hadn't moved on you already.
Right, exactly, exactly. So
okay,
no,
but
I
you know what?
There's
times, there's enough. I've heard of enough stories online of other recruiters complaining that, in fact, the person was in their database for 6 months or something. They didn't know it. We've heard tons of people, like Glenn Cathy, saying that people never use their databases to find new candidates. And so if you bring the person to them, you're doing them a favor. Maybe you'll give them a reduction, but they did nothing, and they would have missed that person. It's just so obvious. I don't know. You know what? You're a candidate. You see things from your point of view. You have no understanding of what a recruiter goes through. That's my take on what you're telling us now, okay? Did anybody tell you that you need to improve your resume?
Sharpen,
take a breath.
What?
Sharpen, take a breath. You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't
That's
know
animal's
what?
Opinion.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. I'm trying to think if anybody told me. I don't think anybody said you need to improve your resume. There were certain instances where I was going on an interview where they suggested that I make specific changes.
Like, lie? Lie?
Just to reflect it. What did you say? Why or like?
Lie? Lie?
Oh, no,
L-I-E?
No.
No?
Oh,
okay,
no.
Okay, did you make your own resume or did you have it made for you by a professional?
That's a great – I'm so glad you asked me that question. The resume that actually got me offers is the one I did.
Too late to make me feel good, okay? Go ahead.
No, that's a good question, because the resume that actually got me offers and ultimately employed is one I wrote. But I did actually pay four figures for a well-known resume writing service who completely cocked it up and made this, like, crazy text-dense thing with all these headers and ugh. It was ugly. And it was hard to read, and you couldn't tell what I did for a living when you read it. Like, it just wasn't...
That's the problem.
It wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't a useful format at all.
Four figures is over $1,000, right?
I yes, it is.
Did you ask for anything?
Oh, you can add animal. That's good. I'm
Math
so impressed.
Math isn't my specialty. If I was leaving
no,
a voicemail, I wouldn't advertise myself as being a math whiz, okay? But you know, really, Cora, that was for my audience.
I know.
Okay, I just had to spell it out for them. Okay, so would you advise most people to write their own resumes, or, you know, just
I don't know.
Be prepared to be.
If most people can write, then yeah. If you can't write, then it's probably not a very good idea.
Okay, so are there any other, you know, cold calls from recruiters? You know, it's amazing. I think I wasted a lot of time today, but the show's almost over. I am getting warmed up.
Can I butt in?
Yeah.
I want to go back to that company that she submitted her resume to, and she said that she was qualified for just about everything that they were asking for.
Yeah.
But they didn't make her an offer.
Yeah.
And well,
they didn't even call her in.
They didn't even call her in. And because... Didn't she wonder about that because she was so qualified? What if that recruiter could have taken you in?
I didn't tell him not to present me. He said that he wasn't going to because of their relationship with the company, and he felt like it wasn't appropriate.
Was that guy a loser? Anybody can comment. Was that
I think
guy
he was
a loser.
Yeah, he's a loser. I would have called my client.
Good. Thank you, Maureen. That was a good question. Now I'm going to fire Maureen.
Question.
Make her feel good. Area code 513, magicmethod.ning.com, namesourcer.com. Great Sheriff, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. Okay.
So cool.
Is there anything else that you hated about recruiters or that they did that was stupid that we should know about?
No, I think we covered most of the stupid stuff from this last round.
When you went out to the companies, did you have to do all your own research, or did they give you all the information you needed?
Oh, good question. They gave me as much information as they had, and actually in this case, this recruiter was fantastic because he really stayed in touch, and he kept checking in with me between the time. There was kind of a long time between the first interview and the second one because it involved some international travel. So he always made sure that I knew, you know, every relevant thing, like when the company issued a press release in that meantime, he made sure I saw it. He called and checked in with me, like, every 10 days or so, which was fantastic.
How long
did
the process take? 10 days is a long time. How long?
It was a long time. It was a long process.
How long?
6 weeks. roughly.
Okay. Okay. Did you go in with questions? Did you go in with questions?
To the recruiter or to the interview?
No, to the company.
Yeah, of course.
Really? Okay.
Sure.
Was the focus on your questions or their questions?
You mean in the interview?
Yeah, you know, I have some really interesting questions about how you manage the interview, but like there's 6 minutes left. I think here's my rating for this show. I think I took a long time to get into the groove. I think we're in a groove now. I think it's very interesting information, but unfortunately the show's almost over. Yeah, I wanted to know because the guest that I was supposed to have today, she says that you should have a bunch of the best way to interview somebody is to tell them to come in with good questions. And let them talk, and you'll see how they think about their business rather than asking them a bunch of questions. Would that have been good for you?
I've been interviewed like that once or twice, yeah.
And
it's,
what
it's
do you
very
think?
Interesting. It's a lot of fun, but it works best if you're a salesperson or a biz dev person. It doesn't work with certain types of functional jobs, right? I mean, like if you expect a software developer to be able to handle that, you're probably barking up the wrong tree.
Why?
So it has to be, well, because those people, generally speaking, are not necessarily as comfortable expressing things verbally as opposed to showing examples of their work.
Can they ask questions about what the company's doing in their own field? Certainly they can.
Well, they can and they should, but I'm just saying that I think you're going to have a more successful interview asking, expecting...
Okay, let me move on. I've got no time left. I want to ask you, did a recruiter ever call you to tell you you were rejected after you'd been out interviewed once or twice?
Yeah.
Or even after just they sent in the resume? Yes?
Yes, I've had that happen after an interview, yes.
Okay, and did they tell you exactly why, that, you know, they didn't like the sound of your voice or your reflection or something like that?
Of course not. Well, in the case that I'm thinking of, I went through 2 or 3 rounds of interviews, and ultimately the reason that I got was that they wanted somebody who was actually more junior than me.
Yeah.
And that they found somebody, and so I interpreted that, frankly, as they didn't want to pay what I wanted them to pay me.
Yep.
Now, I just want to know, if somebody came back and said you weren't chosen, would you ever feel inclined to debate with them because you really thought you were good for that job?
Well, I mean, I might feel inclined to debate with them, but it's not going to get me anywhere.
Okay, so you wouldn't debate with them then?
I might. I might ask more probing questions, but I also realize it's not up to that recruiter.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not the decision maker, so what's the point of beating them up?
Any last questions for Cynthia? I'm getting really interested now. I might have to have you back for half a show again. Anyway,
okay, but you don't scream at me.
Did I scream? I hardly screamed
No, you've
at
been
all.
Very, you've been very, very well
behaved,
animal.
Well, you know what? I only scream if people don't answer the questions properly. You've been fairly easy to control. After, you know, you actually took a while to warm up as well. Let me tell you. Okay.
Well, I think I deserve the title fledgling animal trainer.
You're no trainer, let me tell you. But, you know, you are a former cheerleader, and that's one of the things we were going to talk about.
Ran out of time.
We haven't run out of time yet. I'm asking if anybody else has a question for her.
Yes, so we'd like to go back to the one of the things that got the most tweets was about the sales-driven organizations, and if we could dig into that a little bit more.
Oh, boy. With 3 minutes left. Well... Man, you know what? I'm just going to tell those people Google it because
yeah,
you can write a book about
this. I'll tell you, she didn't have much to say about it that was worthwhile anyway, in my humble opinion.
I didn't expect the question, and yeah, it's a tough question to answer. That's a complicated question.
I got to tell you, if you go to recruiting blogs and look up Ross Clenet, Clennett, he's got a long, too long an article about it. But you know what? Here's how I'll close the show. Now, somebody said that people need 8 hugs a day. I don't really like being hugged that much. Do you think it's necessary to get 8 hugs a day to be happy? Okay? Mind you, I got to tell you, when I met Marianne the first time, she hugged me, and I liked it, okay? But generally...
Who wouldn't, animal? What man
generally,
wouldn't?
I don't like being hugged all the time. Cynthia, do you feel a need to be hugged 8 times a day? I mean, you got 2 kids.
I do not.
At least. No, okay.
I do not feel a need to be hugged 8 times a day, no.
Yeah,
I do.
And you know, who's that? Dr. Nick?
No, Jerry Albright, hugger extraordinary.
There you go. Jerry, you missed it. You would have loved this show.
Yeah, Jerry, you would have liked
the
show.
It. I thought
did
I
you make any money?
Like,
that's what we want to know.
No, no,
yeah, well, I had gotten out of my meeting early, and I thought I was going to be able to get on the show for a few minutes and listen to it, but we live out in the country, and somebody, like, dumped a whole ton of used talent communities out in front of my driveway. I've been playing them up for 15 minutes. They're nasty.
Yeah, okay, just fine. You know,
nasty.
Nobody can hear you, Jerry.
What'd
thanks.
What'd
thanks very
dump?
Much.
You can hear me.
They left a ton of they left a pile of talent communities out there like manure. That was a big joke.
That's awesome.
Okay. Last question. Okay, this other person said that if you make your bed every day, it's a little small victory, and it really improves your frame of mind and helps you to be happy.
Who
you
said
agree
that?
With
that's
that,
true.
Cynthia?
That is
what?
True.
Who
make
said
your
that?
Bed every day? I like
yeah,
it when
absolutely.
I don't have
to
make
do
my bed.
Anything.
Absolutely.
It's good for you to make your bed. You should make your bed every day.
All the
so who said that?
Saying,
who said that?
That's Rayanne. Who do you think? Okay, now Rayanne is going to lead the after show since Jerry's on a bad phone. And I think the show was quite different today because we didn't have Jerry interrupting every 10 seconds, okay? So,
that's true.
So anyway, Cynthia, you and I are not allowed to be on the after show. They're going to give you a good rating and give me a bad rating. I got the feel already. You're welcome to listen online.
Okay,
I wanted to have you back because I thought you turned. You started off as a mediocre guest and you turned into a good guest. I give
that's
you a good,
good. Animal. Before we go to the after show, I have one question. Why did Cynthia come on the animal show? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. She volunteered.
No,
she was the first volunteer.
He's been bugging the hell out of me for like a year, so I was like, all right,
oh,
fine.
Really?
That's not true.
Okay.
You're projecting. A, she's projecting, and as soon as she agreed, she said, I'm not talking about the topic that we said we talk about in the past. Cynthia, thank you!
Okay.
Just
hello,
so you know,
everybody.
I am here, but I'm just listening. Okay?
Oh, did you get to part? How much of the show did you hear?
Just like the last 5 minutes. So I'm just
okay.
I'm just here
okay.
as a I'm not here to take over you taking over the show.
Oh, I know you're not. I know you're not. But I have a question,
a
though.
Boss.
Hi, Maureen.
He's a secret boss. That's funny. I have a question for you, Jerry. So I'm going to be selling my 05 Accord this weekend and getting a new vehicle.
How many
I'm wondering
miles
if $145,000. I'm hoping I get about between five and six grand for it.
You probably get more than that.
So
six or seven.
Here's the thing. I'm just
who's
wondering if I
that?
Should trade. If I should, that's okay. Just ignore it. If I should just trade my vehicle for your pile of talent communities right off the bat.
Yes. yeah, these ones that I just picked up out by the street, some of them, they look all right to me. I mean, I don't know. I'm no expert. You know, it's been quite
be
a while since
them.
I've ever needed any.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much
right.
is you going to get for it, Jerry?
I don't know. That's the mystery of it all.
I miss that
it
part.
Is
should she trade it or sell it outright?
I don't know.
I'm probably going to trade it because it's just easier to just go in and trade it in, right?
Jerry,
you know,
I used to think that,
but the last two times I've sold the vehicle that we were upgrading,
yeah,
it's painless. You put an ad on
okay.
Craigslist, five people mm-hmm. call you up, they all say, will you take an offer? They all say that on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say,
right.
no,
mm-hmm.
I believe my price is fair. Come take
right.
a look at it, and they know to not mess around when they get there. And,
yeah,
and
well,
you end up an extra $1,000
bucks. When they get
to
your place? Yeah, when they get out to the ranch where, you know, there's
uh-huh.
wild animals and
yeah.
all kinds
Rayanne,
of things.
My daughter just bought
by talent communities? Can't even get there.
Rayanne.
You can't even get through there because of the talent communities. Yes.
That's right.
My daughter just bought a Honda. What's the smaller one under the Accord?
The Civic.
About the same mileage, and it was an 04, and she paid $4,800.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figure I could probably get five.
Off,
and she shopped,
and
so
grand.
She knew, and she had her boyfriend overseas.
Yeah, and my car is in decent shape for having been in an accident.
Mm.
but I must say the accident was with a Bentley, So at least I upgraded when I hit something.
Whose fault?
Oh, it was my fault, and it's big, long story. It's still ongoing, so. So we'll.
I want to hear about the show.
Wait a minute!
It wasn't really
my fault. It wasn't really my fault, but
who
that's
got ticketed?
What was determined.
Who got
no ticket? No ticket.
God, this is boring.
No okay, sorry. So? Let's move on. So I thought Cynthia was a great guest. I didn't even catch her last name. So I missed the first intro. Does anybody?
Seamus.
That's right. Yeah. I heard it. Does anybody know how it's spelled?
S-C-H-A-M-E-S.
Yeah.
And her Twitter is at Cynthia Seamus, C-S-C-H-A-M-E-S.
A-M-E-S. Got it. Thank you. I was going to ask what her Twitter handle was, so we'll contact her after. So, Jerry, you missed a good show because it was actually quite interesting. Although
I'm
going to
give her a 50
and
Animal 36.
Okay. Okay, I'm throwing out your scores because
Are
they
you
don't
drinking,
count.
Jerry?
I've been drinking all day.
You've been drinking all day. Maureen, what are your scores?
I thought she was great. I'm going to give her a 90. And I thought Animal was good, too. He took the heat. I'll give him a 90.
Okay. Cora?
I'm with Maureen. I think they were both great. Yeah, 90-90.
90-90. Wow. Okay. Mark Sullivan, are you still here?
Yeah, I am. I'd agree with Animal's self-assessment. It did start off a little weak, but they pulled off a strong show at the end there. So I will go 80-80.
80-80. Okay. And Dr. Nick, are you still here?
I am. I'm going to go with a 72 for Animal because of the double rant.
He's doing that a lot. Did I miss a double?
Yeah, you missed a double.
Double monologue and, thing where he'll do the first one and then he kind of...
That was it. You got
it.
And for
that's
the
weird.
Guest, I'm going to go with the 78 because there was no singing.
Oh, that's true. She backed off the singing, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kathy, are you still here? Kathy Manis?
No, I think she bailed early.
Okay. Did I miss anybody else?
Did you get my scores?
Jerry, your scores don't
you
count.
You can't throw
okay?
No, you can't throw them out.
Jerry.
She can do anything she wants.
I am in charge.
Scores out.
I'm in charge, secret boss.
You
go.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well, anybody else
can
give me a score.
Because he had that awesome quote near the end.
That's true. That's true. I think we have to put a little side score in for Jerry because he jumped in and threw the talent community thing and threw us all into a tailspin. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, sorry. Skip my scores, then. Just skip it. Just skip it.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to give the guest an 88. It was a slow heat up on there, but I did enjoy what she had to say. I thought she was interesting. I liked that she was giving – she finally warmed up and was giving many examples, so it was good. And Animal, I'm a little disappointed, Animal, in the fact that he wasn't willing to reveal the guest who bailed. Because I have heard about it for 4 years that I bailed on the first time when I was a guest.
Oh.
So
really?
I don't think it's fair that we're hiding her identity. I think she needs to be reamed in public properly, flogged, like I was.
I agree.
And,
I agree too.
She should not be protected, not at all. So. Animal, you need to be forthcoming whether you're going to write a blog about it or. Okay. But we need to understand why she felt like there was no compatibility, and what she's trying to hide. Because
how could there not be compatibility? Nobody is compatible with them. I mean, what's her deal?
Yeah. And I'm going to disagree with the eight hugs a day. I think we all need far more than that. And even if they're just virtual hugs or telephonic hugs. So I'm sending out a telephonic hug to everybody on the line today. And I will add up the scores, and they'll be posted soon. Anybody have anything wonderful to add? Any big plans for the weekend? Anybody doing anything fun? Jerry, are you going to be fishing again?
You're doing 8 minute after show, that's all you've got?
I'm done with gathering scores. I'm done with gathering scores.
Was about the selling of a car.
I'm not done with the show. I'm done with gathering scores. Now we're getting to the nitty gritty.
She just asked what we're
about.
All doing over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to Traverse City.
Where's that?
It's in northern Michigan.
Clearly
they don't have
not
cars there.
Aware of the water wonderland state.
Oh, okay. Well, I lived in Indiana,
capital,
but I have blocked out
world.
Those years. So.
What are you doing in Traverse City, Cora?
Actually, I have family up there, and I'm going up to a baby shower.
Hmm. Are they on on one of the legs?
Yeah, they're on Mission Point. They live on Mission Point right on the water.
On
the
Grand
East
Traverse
Bay?
Bay?
Yeah, Traverse Bay on the east side, East Point.
Nice.
Point goes up the middle. And
Animal just
on the east side.
Animal pretty just tweeted out.
Yeah, I know. I'm
Animal.
Excited. I haven't seen the house before.
Who said that? Ran? What did
yeah.
you say?
Animal
he tweeted,
just tweeted
or he
out.
Tweeted?
No, he tweeted out that I didn't cut you up in public. I'm sorry, Animal, but isn't your show a public forum? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did. You did, Animal. On your show many times. It's
never
something
forget.
I will never be allowed to forget. Yeah.
Never
I'll never
forget.
Be allowed to
never
forget,
forget
it. Even
got
though I've begged
like
forgiveness. And I was said the morning of the show I was curled up in a little ball in my bathroom because I had decided to divorce my husband. And he doesn't care, you know. He's just willing to bring out that I didn't show up on the first time he asked me. So
you were in the middle of an emotional upheaval and had
yeah.
a reason to cancel. And he should have you know, understood that.
More than.
And real cool about it and not
yeah.
said anything.
Yeah.
Instead, he does bring it up all the time.
All the time? All the time.
This other person, we don't even know who she is. She deserves no cover up.
Yeah. She's actually, I mean, she came out and told him, yeah, I'm not going to be on your show because, told him why and everything. And I was just like this broken child, you know, and I called him immediately and apologized and everything. So.
Yeah.
She did give him a couple days notice, though, and I didn't give him any notice. I just didn't show up. So.
Oh.
So that's
yeah,
I guess she deserves some consideration.
A
yeah, a little bit.
So. Well,
anyway,
have a great day, everybody. I gotta
oh, that's
go.
It?
No. Yeah, that's it.
He gave us his 10 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, no, I've got on to my next
here.
Meeting. It's a busy day.
Thanks
well,
money,
anybody
Jerry.
Have anything wonderful to add? Mark, what? Where are you living? What kind of job do you want?
I'm in outside of Philly. Is when I relocated with Comcast, and then
okay.
Still looking for a director of talent acquisition type role.
Okay.
So I've had a few good leads and some activity, but just we're just plugging away.
And you guys just moved there a year ago, didn't you, or less?
Yeah, in August of 2011, yep.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it hasn't been a year.
Wow.
And when I talked to...
Would you be willing to relocate again, or...?
This is the non-public version, right?
if somebody's still on the line, they can hear it. They can still hear it, so...
Yeah, so I have to...
They'll be able to hear it on the after show, the whole tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was... we're hoping to stay in this area since we just
okay.
moved and moved the kids and they just started a new school and they're adjusting to that. So we're...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
well,
what
that's
we're
pretty
doing.
Tacky. They moved there and then they, you know...
That happened to me 20 years ago when I came
oh,
to
my
California.
Gosh.
Yeah,
yeah,
same thing. So it's... I think it's indicative of the economic times. You know, there might be a little bump where it seems like everything is going better and well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they increase hiring and then they realize, oh, oops, we weren't ready to hire that many people yet. So it's a difficult transition. Sorry about that, Mark. We'll keep our
yep.
fingers crossed and send prayers and good thoughts your way and hopefully we can help with your job search. And did Animal say Dr. Nick was looking for a job too?
I'm not in a good spot to talk about that right now.
Okay. All right.
But
well,
yeah, you can check my LinkedIn profile.
We'll send good thoughts your way too.
Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, everyone. Anybody else have anything to say? Nope.
Nope. Have
all
a great
right,
week.
Have a great Wednesday. See y'all next week.
Excellent. Thank you. All right.
Bye.
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 Today we're only going to just rate the show overall. We're just going to have one score because there was no guest. Just. All in all, 0 to 10, whole numbers. Dave Manister, what's your score?
5. I don't know.
I need to
yeah.
know why.
I don't know why Animal keeps on harping on you, Jerry, about that whole in-person thing. It's
jealousy.
Such common sense. If
it's
it works, why are you arguing with it? and it went on forever.
Yeah.
He's kind of turned into a hater on that, isn't he? It's kind of odd.
I think it's his personal preference. He doesn't like to meet with people, and so he assumes.
Yeah, but do we have to talk about it all the time? Please, it's dead. Let's move on.
Bill Borman, give me a score on the show. Just one score.
Four. I'll give you 8 for the after show. I picked up more in the after show.
Jeremy.
I was on the other line. Blah, blah, blah. 7. I wasn't jumping up and down about some of the content.
Okay.
It's pretty high.
Kathy, Manus, are you still there?
I am. A 5. What I liked was what Jerry was saying.
I usually bring the good stuff.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you.
That's why people invite me to the parties. Janice.
5.
I've got
a good reason. There are so many good topics that came up that he killed.
Yes.
He's a top.
It was all over the place. It was manic.
I mean, no, but they're really good, compelling discussions. We are a really hot group, and he kills many of them with his style, which
we call
is
a buzzkill here in Indiana. He gets nervous when he doesn't hear himself.
Yeah. He gets nervous when there's any dead airspace. He's
Maureen, what's your score?
Well, I'm much more easily entertained than the rest of you. I would give it a 10, except that I'm not allowed to. But I echo Rayanne's sentiments. I thought it was a really entertaining show, so I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
Jeff Lipschultz.
Yeah, you know, I give it an 8 for entertainment value, but I give it a 2 for, you know, having learned something in quality and, you know, getting something out of it.
Like we said,
I think we had more follow-on discussion that was a learning experience for some people on the call than we did during the actual show. There was no value in what we were talking about. You know, if you want to learn something, if you got a new recruiter who knows diddly and calls into this show to learn something, how much did they learn today? For real. Come on.
For real.